Hey there, and thanks for listening to the Church on the Ridge podcast, where you matter. I'm David Wall. Have you ever tried to change something in your life, whether break a bad habit, start a good habit, or improve a relationship, only to find yourself back where you started, or maybe worse, find yourself regressing? Well, this week we kick off a new series, Breakthrough, Change is Possible. Through this series, we will find out how, by following the teachings of Jesus, we can let go of the habits, hurts, and hang-ups that have hampered us in the past and find the freedom to experience the life God has for us. Take a listen to this week's talk from our pastor, Charlie, as he kicks us off.
Yeah, good morning. Thank you, Tony. And I trust that you are starting off well this year. It's called Breakthrough, Change is Possible. I'd like to change that to Change is Coming. If you will tap in with us through this series, I know that God has a miracle for you, a breakthrough for you, something that you have been fighting with your whole life. In fact, some of you have stopped fighting with it. You've been fighting with it so long. You're like, you know what? This is just who I am. You know, I'm Scottish, so it's just the way God made me, and I just can't get past this. And this year, God is going to show you how to get past it. I was, in 1983, I was taking the exhaust manifold off of my 72 Pinto. Do the math. And this was a sweet car. I wish I still had it. My wife made me sell it. I haven't forgiven her for it. We've gone through counseling, all the stuff. That was a nice car. And I'm trying to bust this nut loose on this manifold, and it will not come. It will not come. It will not come. This thing's welded on there or something, and I am just fighting this thing. And all of a sudden, the wrench breaks loose, and my knuckles go. And if you've ever done that, you know what happens. There's blood everywhere. And I'm in Bible school at the time. So this is in the Bible school parking lot, so I can't cuss. And a buddy of mine's going, hey, have you met my friend? I go, what are you talking about? You met my friend Truth. I go, what? Have you met my friend Truth? Come on. Here, you shall know the truth. The truth will set you free. And he hands me a bar. And I go, what are you talking about, Truth? He goes, and he slips his bar over the top of my socket, and he went, and that thing is like Captain Jack Sparrow, leverage. It's okay. The thing comes loose. And I had a breakthrough right there. And I was new to faith, so I didn't know the Bible all that well. And he's going, yeah, that comes right out of Scripture. Jesus said this. He says, I told you people who had faith in him. So if you're here this morning and you have faith in Christ, you're going, you know what? I've made this devotion to Jesus. I've made this commitment to him. This is, he's talking to you. He says, if you have faith in him and you obey what I've said, that's the part that really means that you're a follower. Is if you obey what he says, then you truly are my disciple, right? You really are my follower. And you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Some of you have some areas in your life that are stuck. And this series, we're going to teach you how to have a breakthrough in every area of your life. And we're going to experience some things that you're going to get stuck in this year in 2020. Maybe you're going along right now and it's going pretty good, but you're going to hit a wall and something's going to happen. You're going to fall back into these principles and go, wow, I know how to battle this. I know how to get through this. I'm not going to allow this thing to push me back and keep me stuck. We need it as a church. We need it in our families. We need it in our marriages. And so through this series, we're going to teach you some biblical truths about how to have a breakthrough. We're going to have different teachers up here speaking to you. Next week, Pastor Pete's going to be here teaching you how to pray. Some of you are like, man, I just really don't know how to talk to God. What does that mean? I always do it wrong. What do I do? We're going to give you some principles in that. We're going to talk about fasting. This is what I'm really excited about. In 2 weeks, I'll be up here teaching about fasting. For 22 years, I've taken the first month of the year and fasted. And many times I've gone without food, sometimes gone without some other things, but fasting is not what many of you think it is, and it will actually help you have a connection with God. So I hope you'll join us as Tony encouraged us to life in the fast lane as we start on the 20th as a church together for the breakthrough that we're looking for. That verse that Jesus said goes on, and these guys that were standing around listening to him saying the truth will set you free, there were some religious leaders there, like priests, pastors kind of people. The Bible calls them Pharisees, and they were the religious teachers. And they said, hey, wait a minute, Jesus guy, right? You're teaching us about how to be free. We are descendants of Abraham. Check our pedigree, man. Hey, we've never been slaves. You know our country. We're not slaves to anybody, which in fact was not true, but they're saying it anyway. He says, we've never been slaves. What do you mean? You'll be set free. And Jesus says this. He says, I tell the truth. Everyone who sins is a slave to sin. I'm not talking about your pedigree. I'm not talking about your background. I'm not talking about your upbringing. I'm not talking about what church you go to, you know, what religion you're a part of. I'm just talking about your life. I'm talking about you. If you sin, you're a slave to sin. A slave is not a permanent member of the family. Right? You've made yourself a slave, and now you're a slave to something else. But the son is part of the family forever. Right? And I'm the son. And whoever the son sets free is truly free. So if you'll tap into me, if you'll follow me, if you'll be my disciple, guess what? You're going to be free. We sang this at the very beginning of the hour. He, the son sets free, is free indeed. I'm a child of God. Yes, I am. In my Father's house, there's a place for me. Everyone, Jesus says. So if you're in this room, you're an everyone. Everyone in this room has an area in their life where they are a slave to. An area in your life that is sin that you have not been able to break through. Something that you've been doing your whole life. You've gone to the place in your life where you just say, you know what, I guess it's just who I am. I can't do it. And you've stopped trying. You've stopped making resolutions over it. You just kind of just come to the place where you go, yeah. You know, some of them are kind of simple kinds of things, but they still have us under bondage. Some of you stay up way too late at night, just binge watching. You know, like, okay, one more. You just kind of just want to numb the world and numb everything else. You just binge watch. You won't go to bed, and you wake up the next morning, you're really tired, the whole thing. Some of you, it's, you know, hey, this is the year. No, I'm not even going to try to diet this year. I'm not going to try to stay. No, so you overeat. And it's just part of who I am. I overeat. Impatient with the kids, right? Just like, hey, you don't know my kids, Pastor. If you knew my kids, you'd be impatient with them too. But I just can't. I've tried, and I blow it. And so okay, call me a bad parent, but that's the way I am. Worry, man, you can't get past that worry. You worry. You stay up late at night, and you worry, and you think about stuff. You know, hey, I just need a beer after I get home from work, man, and then it's just one, and it's just another one. It's just too many beers, right? You just, man, I like to have a beer after, and so. So, you know, your husband won't change. You just nag him. You know, he won't change, so I have to. Somebody's got to stay on him. If I don't stay on him, who's going to stay on him? You know, neglect your wife and your kids. Man, I work hard. I'm doing all this stuff, but I cannot find time to spend with them, and I try. And then I don't even know what to talk about, so, you know, it should be happy I'm paying the bills. Here's these Pharisees. They use this word, hey, we've never been a slave. Did you notice that? We've never been a slave. Areas of your life emotionally, addictively, things in your life that have gripped you until you come to the place where you're willing to admit that you have an issue, you will not be free. The Pharisees were not willing to admit that they had errors in their life. When Jesus is speaking directly to them, whoever sins is a slave to sin. And guys, you're reaping what you're sowing. There's a cause and effect here. It's a law of the universe. You know, the third law of Newton's law of motion. For every action, yeah. Butterfly flaps its wings in Venezuela and there's a tornado in Hawaii. You know, do they have tornadoes in Hawaii? You know, there's a cause and effect, sowing and reaping. When we sin, we become a slave to that sin. And what do? That slave, how do we break free from this? We try, and at some point we just go, forget it. I can't break free from this. He uses this word sin. He doesn't just start naming things. Hey, it's this, because everybody's different. He uses this word sin. You go, well, hey, I don't do any of those things, Pastor. I know, that's why Jesus used the word sin. And let me break sin down for you. Sin is simply pride. The most basic form of sin is pride. Pride is kind of an interesting word. Let me give you some synonyms for pride. These came from the dictionary, all right? Arrogance, vanity, self-importance, hubris, self-conceit, conceit, conceitedness, self-love, self-glorification, self-adulation, self-admiration, narcissism, egotism, presumption, superciliousness. That's a good one right there. Any of you supercilious people out there? Superciliousness, haughtiness, snobbery, snobbishness, disdain, disdainfulness, condescension, condescension. Condescension, that one's different. Pretentiousness, how-to or big-headedness, swollen-headedness, vainglory. Go, hey, in your notes there's a blank next to pride. And the idea is I'm going to leave that up there for just a minute and let you pick the one that's you, all right? Say, man, I don't like pride, but okay. And if you don't know which one is you, ask your spouse. Just turn to them and say, hey, will you pick, right? Big-headed. You notice go back to that sin and pride slide. Can you do that, Eric? Or Matt, sin and pride. Notice the center letter of both words. I. When I am the center of my universe, when I am the most important person in the world, when I want to think about me, it's called sin, it's called pride. When I say I don't need God, I'm smarter than God, I can do life without God, I'm not even sure I believe in God, I don't have to listen to God. You realize you didn't even get up this morning without God? You didn't take your first breath without God. All the gifts you had, you think, hey, I made where I made without God. No, man, all the gifts that you have, those came from somebody else. He didn't create those. And pride says, hey, I don't need him. And it's called sin. I need God in my life. You know, you talk about vainglory when you say so arrogant that says, no, I can do this without him. Wouldn't it be amazing to be free? These areas in your life that you haven't had a breakthrough. Wouldn't it be amazing to just be able to say, hey, man, I let go of that sin. These things in my life that I thought, oh, man. There's a name in the Bible for God. There's different names in the Bible for God. We know the big three, right? The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Everybody knows those three names of God. But there's lots of names, hundreds of names for God. The Bible calls them so that we can get a picture of him, sometimes get a better understanding of who he is. One of my favorite names for God, it's only used once in the Bible, is the God who breaks through. The God who breaks through. In fact, it prompted this series, Breakthrough. Change is possible. And as we look at this, we say, hey, who is this God who breaks through? In 1983, that's the same time frame that I told you about, I was starting out this thing, trying to go into ministry. And so, man, I went to work for a church in Seattle called Calvary Temple. And I'm new at this thing. I think I'm 19 years old at the time. And they said, well, hey, we're going to put you, since you know, you've only had like a year of Bible college. I don't even think I finished my first year of Bible college. We're going to put you with the four-year-olds, right? I don't think you can do a lot of damage there. You know, you can't mess them up too bad. And if you do, we can fix them. We got a few years with them. We can fix them. And I'm so grateful for our student ministries department here, man, helping your kids learn Bible verses and learn about God. They don't have a 19-year-old in there going, I don't know either. What do you think? So here's what they did. Here's what they did. They put a 78-year-old lady with me. Sweet lady. She had been a missionary for 40-some years overseas on the mission field. And she'd come home. She'd never been married. And she said, look, I don't want to just retire. I'm not going to, man, I've been serving God my whole life, and I'm going to go home, you know, serving Jesus. I can just sit around and dink around. And I said, well, hey, we got this punk kid. He's 19 years old. He's teaching 4 years. Will you get in that class with him and help him, show him how to do it? She goes, absolutely. Man, you know, let me have him. And so her and I, so I got a 19-year-old and a 70-year-old working with four-year-olds. And she's doing all the stuff because I don't know anything, right? So she teaches this story that I'm going to teach this morning. I didn't know this story. And I'm like, wow, this is actually in the Bible. This is so cool. And she's telling the story. So if you're new to the Bible, you're new to faith, you're not sure, maybe you said, hey, I'm going to read the Bible this year. This year I'm going to try to read the Bible. And you start by going, where do you go? How do I start this thing? Read 1 and 2 Samuel. They're books in the Bible. You can find them in the index at the very front of your Bible. 1 and 2 Samuel, they're towards the front. And there's a story of the history of the early kings, the foundation of the nation of Israel, all right? And you just get a really, there's some wild stuff in there. And this is one of the stories I'm going to talk to you about this morning. It starts off like this in 2 Samuel chapter 5. This guy David, who's the first king, it says, when the Philistines, and we'll stop right there for a second. Whenever you hear the word Philistines, you're reading your Bible, you just go, ugh. Can you do that? Just go, all right. When the Philistines, heard, all right. So Philistines, you want to talk about people of pride? I don't want God. I don't need God. I don't like God. In fact, I'm going to do everything I can to keep God from being available in our culture, our society. In fact, we're going to go against the people who say they love God. We're going to do everything we can to stop the people that say that they follow God, because we're people who love things and use people. We love things and we use people. It's all about me. It's my life. What can I do to better myself? And if you don't appreciate that, then you're intolerant and I'm going to get rid of you. I'm a Philistine. It's what I do. And these Philistines were evil people and said, God, we're going to wipe you out and wipe you off from the face of the earth and any of the people that follow you. And so the Philistines heard that David had been anointed king over Israel. And he's this young king now. The past king turned his back on God, said, God, I don't need you. I don't have to follow you. I'm smarter than you. I'm going to lead this kingdom the way I want to. And God says, well, it's my kingdom, not your kingdom, really. You're just my servant. He says, well, screw that. I'm going to do it the way I want to. And God said, okay. And he removes the old king, and he raises up this guy, David, to bring back spiritual renewal to the land. The Philistines hear this and say, whoa, this David guy is going to bring back spiritual renewal, and he's going to establish God as the God to worship. We're going to keep that from happening. Let's wipe him out. And so David hears about it and says, what? I'm brand new at this thing. I've just been anointed king, and what's going to happen to me? The Bible says they bring the full force to search for him. David heard about it. Who's coming against me? What? The Philistines? Those evil, God-hating people? Yeah. Coming. How many of them? All of them. Oh, great. What am I going to do? Bible says, and he went down to his stronghold. I'm running home to mama. You know, I get out of here. Now, the Philistines had come up and spread out in the valley of Rephaim. Some translations translate that word Rephaim, which is a Hebrew word, which simply means giants. Giants. The Greek word is titans. The valley of giants, the big dudes, the big dogs. Some of you are facing giants right now. Some of you are in that valley of Rephaim. You're not sure how you're going to get out of it. You're looking around and going, wow. You just had some wonderful news, and then boom, it hits you. What do? Jesus made this statement in John chapter 16. He said, in this world, you'll have trials and sorrows. Wow, I'm in a valley of giants, and I'm going to have trials and sorrows. I did not want to get up and come to church for that. Any good news in this? You know? In this world, you're going to have a valley of giants. You're going to face some giants in your life. No, thank you. And David goes to his stronghold and says, man, I don't want to get into this, but that's actually not what's happening. And then a cursory reading of you say, hey, David's running away. There are times in my life, man, when I'm facing those giants and I just want to get away, I just want to hide. I don't want to get out of bed. You know what? So we do things. We binge watch. We binge drink. We just, man, I cannot face the world. But David is not running away. You have to understand the meaning of the word stronghold. It's himitsude. And himitsude is a picture word. All the words in Hebrew are picture words. When they speak in Hebrew, it's like in color. And himitsude is a picture of a net. It's a setting of a trap. Metaphorically, it's this. A lioness sees the prey. She sees that prey and she goes, oh, I got to get to my himitsude. And she sneaks over to the tall grass and she crouches down. So now she's camouflaged in that high grass, right? And she's there it is. And she's planning her attack. She's saying, how am I gonna pounce on this thing? In that place of tall grass, it's himitsude, her stronghold, her place of safety, planning, preparing, can't be seen. David is going to his stronghold so he can plan his attack, not so he can run away. He's planning, he says, man, I got to get to a place where I can prepare to do battle against the enemy. Not so I can run and hide, not so I can just kind of crawl up into a little ball and go home to mama. I'm preparing, crouch down here. How does David prepare for the attack? Well, the next line tells us. He inquired of the Lord. So the first point in your notes there is 2020, you're going to have some giants to face. You're wondering what to write in your notes there. In 2020, you're going to face a valley of giants. If you're not already in the valley, you're going to go into the valley. There's going to be something that you come up against and go, wow, these are big dudes. This is bigger than I anticipated. Point number two, inquire of the Lord. Inquire of the Lord. Find a place of safety. Find a place of stronghold. And David goes there and he inquires of the Lord. He asks the Lord, do I go up against them? What do I do, God? What do I do here? There are times in life when you're facing those giants, you've got to take a step back and say, God, I don't have an answer here. You've got to get to a stronghold, a place of safety, so you can pray, inquire of the Lord. You know, David is a brand new king and he's got all kinds of pressures and everybody's pulling him. Hey, David, how do we take taxes over here? Hey, David, we need to build a road over here. Hey, David, when are we going to build a palace? Hey, David, we need to build a temple. Hey, David, we got some rebellion going down in the north. Hey, David, what about this? David, what about this? Hey, king. Whoa. Hey, king, guess what? The Philistines heard about it and they're coming against it and they got the whole army against this. And what do we do? You guys understand this, man. You go through the end of last year, and it's family, and it's pressure, and it's parties, and it's Christmas, and all the stuff. And we come into 2020, and what are we doing? We're calling our church to a fast, to a stronghold, to a place of safety, to shut out everything else, to be at a place where nobody can see us, be quiet for a moment so I can hear from the Lord and prepare how to do battle in these giants that I'm facing. If anyone has ever had a major breakthrough, if you've had a major breakthrough in your life, it came through prayer. Your own strength doesn't bring you breakthroughs. It brings you to the place where you go, well, I guess this is just the way I am. I guess this thing is just never going to be, I just have to live with it. That's why we're calling it to a fast in 2 weeks. 40 days in the fast lane. Why we encourage you to take the first 7 minutes of your day and start and focus on God. Just go, before you start the day, go to your stronghold, your Himitsude. And look at this. It says, the Lord answered him. The Lord answered him. In that place of safety, in that place where he shut out everything else, the Lord spoke to him. Some of you say, man, I never hear from God. I never hear from the Lord. When was the last time you went to your stronghold? When was the last time you said, okay, I'm going to shut everything out and just hear from him because I got to prepare for this. And I can't do it when everybody's pulling me in every different direction. Let's go, well, I will surely hand you over to the Philistines. And people think, well, you know, God will speak to people like David, of course. He's like David. And people like, you know, Moses, Elijah, people like Sandy, your wife. She's the most godly person that she is. And God does talk to her. But I'll tell you why God talks to her. Because every day she spends time in her stronghold. Says, no, nothing else matters. I need to hear from him. And there's breakthroughs and there's answer to prayer and there's beauty in that. And you say, well, God doesn't talk to me because I'm not that good. I'm not a holy person. You know, I've done too many bad things. That same Jesus who started this whole thing off and said, who the Son sets free is free indeed, was preaching to thousands of people. He wasn't just preaching to his little 12 guys. He's preaching to thousands of people. The most famous sermon that we have recorded, the Sermon on the Mount. And he says these words to all the people. So he's saying it to us. So I say to you, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you'll find. Knock and the door will be opened. For everyone who asks receives. And he who seeks finds. And to him who knocks, the door will be opened. There's no qualifiers on that. No qualifiers on it. You got to be holy. You got to be good. You got to keep everything together in your life. You can't have anything, any sin, anything going on. No. No, this is why I want to set you free, because if you ask, you receive, knock, the door will be open. And then he says, let me explain this to you. Which of you fathers, if your son asks for a fish, will give him a serpent? You know, he's being sarcastic here, right? Your kid comes up and says, Daddy, I'm hungry. Do you have any fish? No, I don't have any fish, son, but I've got this pit viper, right? Like, ah! You know, then he gets even more sarcastic. He says, your son asks you for some eggs. Daddy, got any scrambled eggs? No, but I got these scorpions. Look what he says. If you, being evil, he's just calling us out. Yeah. Yeah, me. I know I'm not holy. I know I'm not perfect. I know I'm not King David. I know I'm not Moses. I know I'm not Peter and Paul, those guys. I'm evil. I mean, how much more will your Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit? And what is the Holy Spirit? Another name for God. He's the power of God to break through. The power of God that you need in your life to face those giants in your life. When you're facing those giants, you stop, you get away in your stronghold, you crouch down and say, God, what do I do? How do I do this? And he says, you ask, you receive the Spirit of God in your life to him who asks. Unfortunately, many of us never take that time to stop and ask. Verse 20, 2 Samuel goes on. It says, David attacked the Philistines and defeated them. David attacked the Philistines and defeated them. And you go, David defeated them? David defeated them? Oh, wait a minute. David says, well, I know you're writing this down for posterity, but let me qualify this. Let me qualify this. This is important. David attacked. He said, I watched the Lord break through my enemies like a mighty flood. I watched the Lord break through my enemies like a mighty flood. You can put my name on there if you want to, but let me tell you what happened. I watched the Lord break through. In fact, he goes on, he says, I'm going to call this place the Lord who breaks through. And he names this name of God. I've got a new name for God, the Lord who breaks through. Have you met the Lord who breaks through? Do you have a plaque on your wall at home where the Lord has broken through in your life, where you were facing a giant and you didn't know how to get through, but you were able to step back and your kids asked you, Daddy, 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 tell me that story again about when the Lord broke through. And you tell them the story how, man, you crouched down and you prayed and God showed up and you may have taken the, you know, some of the credit for it, but you know that it was God in your life and God did the miracle. My kids know the story about Sandy and I's marriage, how the Lord broke through and set us free. God, my kids know the story of my son Caleb when he was out squirreling around and we're praying and we're trusting God and God, can you bring this son back? And today he's married and he's in a Christian college. His wife's a pastor. It is most amazing. The Lord broke through. This week we had a cool breakthrough. My daughter, she's got a seizure disorder, struggles with schooling, and she was accepted into the University of Nations for an early childhood ministry program. And she's going to leave in April and the Lord broke through. You know, We're gonna move into our new building later this year. I don't know where we're gonna put the plaque, but the Lord broke through. You know, all the challenges, all the struggles, all the giants we've had to face, but God's gonna break through. Who gets the victory in your life? You tell the world, do you tell your kids, or does pride say, hey, I did that? I did the victory. And you know and God knows that you did very little. And got away and called upon him. Jesus said, here in this world, you're going to have giants. You're going to have giants. But he didn't leave it like that. He says, you're going to have sorrows and trials. He sandwiched that between two other statements. And I pulled it out of context just to kind of help you see it here. But look what he actually said. He says, I've told you these things so that you'll have peace. I've told you these things so that you'll have something greater than what you're experiencing. Here on earth, you're going to have some giants. You're going to be in the valley of Rephaim. But if you'll come to me, if you'll meet me in your place of stronghold, your Himitsu day, I'm going to give you peace. You're going to have trial, but take heart because I'm the God who breaks through. I'm the God who overcomes. Who are you going to attach yourself to? I could stop right here and talk about the victories of God. But unfortunately, the story goes on. And we come to point number three. Because the verse says this, but after a while, I don't know what that while was, but after a while, the Philistines came back. You've had a victory. Man, you think this thing's conquered. You feel really good about it. And all of a sudden, you get the news that the pain is back. The cancer is back. You thought you were over that temptation. Man, I beat this thing, porn. I'm done with it. I'm done. And that thing, whoa. Man, I thought my wife and I, we were at a place where, man, our marriage was doing so good, but now, the giant is back. The giant is back. What does David do? Number four in your notes there, he inquired of the Lord again. God broke through the first time. God did this miracle in my life. God met me here. Man, I've had God's grace here. Why in the world would I doubt him again? Why would I let pride rise its ugly head up again and say, oh man, this time I better handle it. This time I better take care of it. This time I got to break through in my own strength. And you can fight this thing and fight this thing and fight this thing and fight this thing and tear yourself apart. Or you can say, nope, Himitsu day. I'm going back to the stronghold. I'm going back to that place of prayer, going back to that place of safety where I shut out everything else so I can hear from him. That word inquire of the Lord is, a picture word, and it's a bothering word. Your kids ever bother you? Hey, daddy, why? Well, because of this. Well, why, daddy? Well, because of this. Well, why, daddy? Well, because of this. Well, why, daddy? Because of this. Well, why, daddy? Because of this. Well, why, daddy? Well, why, daddy? Because I said so! Right? This word inquire is a word of bothering God, going back to him. And here's what's amazing about God. He never gets bothered. David says, God, man, I'm going to keep coming to you. I'm going to keep coming to you and keep coming to you and keep coming to you until I have that place of peace. Remember, Jesus said, you'll have peace because I've overcome, because I'm not going to attack the enemy until I've heard from you. Let me close. No, let me read the scripture. I got 6 minutes to go. I'm like, hey, this is awesome. He says, don't attack from the front. Circle around behind and attack from among the balsam trees. So here's David in his stronghold. God, what do I do? What do I do? I know how to do this because last time we did it, we attacked from the front. God says, no. Don't attack from the front. Don't attack from the front. Circle around behind and attack from the balsam trees. And you can see this little 78-year-old lady telling this story, and I'm here, and I'm just like, whoa, this is the coolest thing. And the kids are going, this is the coolest thing. And like this 19-year-old with his 4-year-olds, and we're hearing the story for the very first time. What? The balsam trees? What is that? And wait until you hear the sound of troops marching in the tops of the trees. And I go, oh, this is so cool. So you hear the sound marching in the tops of the trees. And look what it says. Then attack quickly, because that sound that you hear, I have marched out ahead of you. I'm the guy who breaks through. And I'm going to fight the Philistine army. And David obeyed the Lord and he defeated the Philistines. Our tendency is this. Oh, I fought this giant before. I know how I'm going to defeat it this time. I'll do the same way I did last time. You can see David's men all lined up behind him. All right, guys, marshal up. We're going to have that head-on attack. Come on, guys, let's do it. And David says, wait. What do you mean, wait? What are you doing, David? Going to my stronghold. What? You don't need to go to your stronghold. We've done this before. Come on. We whooped him once. We'll whoop him again. No. I want to hear from the Lord again. All right, guys. This time we're going to circle around back. That's the long way. We got to march. Yeah. We're going to march slow, though. We're going to do it quietly. And we're going to be really quiet when we get there, right? Guys, I don't want to hear a sound. Because the sound I want to hear is we're going to hear some marching in the top of the trees. What are you talking about? Shut up and listen to the Lord. Are you smarter than God? Do you know more than He does? It's pride. It doesn't make any sense. Why in the world will we wait until we hear some kind of sound at the top of the trees? What are you talking about, David? I'm not sure either. But when you hear the sound, marshal up, guys. Saddle up. We're going to battle because the God has already broken through. We're just the cleanup crew anyway. Some of you, God's spoken to you. It doesn't make a lot of sense. You're kind of wondering, am I really supposed to do it this way? And there's a war going on inside of you. This battle is called pride. God, I don't get it. I don't understand. And if you'll obey the word of the Lord as David did and defeat the Philistines, he chased them all the way from Geba to the entrance of Gezer. I like that name, Gezer. A bunch of old geezers, they had to chase him down. Who is the Lord who breaks through for you? Is it your own strength? You fight your own battles? We're going to get to know the truth. And the truth's going to set us free. Those of you that have been battling these battles for a long time, you've been in the battle of the giants. Maybe you're there right now. Maybe you've given up and you said, I don't go to my stronghold. I just go to my happy place, my quiet place, and just curl up in a little ball. You're using all kinds of things to try to medicate the reality of the giants, but God has a miracle for you. We're going to see miracles. We're going to see breakthroughs. We're going to see God at work. If you'll join us for this fast, we're going to teach you how to fast. And it's not what you think it is. It's an opportunity for us to get to that place, to push out the rest of the world and say, God, how do we hear from you? I want to know your voice. God has told us this that we might have peace because he has overcome the world. We may have many trials and sorrows, but take heart. Take heart, the God of the breakthrough. It's the Jesus who loves you. If you need a breakthrough, I want you to make a decision this morning. Say today. Today I'm going to look for that place of safety. Instead of trying to do this all on my own, figuring this thing out on a T account, God, I'm going to set that aside and listen to you. I want to hear your heart. I want to be able to put a plaque on the wall that says, the God who breaks through. Father, I thank you, God, that your promise is real, that you have a breakthrough for each one of us. though we being evil, God, you have come to give us your spirit, God, to give us the power to face the giants in our life. God, the people who are facing giants right now, I pray, God, that there would be a supernatural anointing over them like there was over David. God, they would stand up and they would hear the voice of the Lord inquire of you. God, and you would set a trap for the enemy. Thank you, Father. 2020, change is possible. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thanks again for listening. I hope you're excited to continue this series next week as we dive into the topic of prayer. It plays a powerful role in our relationship with God and is a critical part of experiencing the change we need in our own lives. Speaking of prayer, we would love for you to participate in our 40-day church-wide fast, Life in the Fast Lane. If you'd like to participate, fill out your connection card in the COTR mobile app and mark in the comments section that you'd like to join, and we'll follow up with you. Imagine how cool it would be if over this 40-day period, someone is always praying and fasting for the change we want to see in our lives and in our church. Have a great week.